We start off, though, with Jay Berman. He is the former chief of staff to Senator Birch Bayh from Indiana and one of the co-authors of the 25th Amendment. And the anniversary of the 25th Amendment is tomorrow, 51st anniversary. Jay, thanks so much for being here today with us.
Happy to be here.
It must have been very interesting and exciting to be involved, so involved in the process of, actually adding an amendment to the Constitution.
It most certainly was, and I actually had the good fortune while working for Senator Bayh to do that twice, because he was also the author of the 26th Amendment, which provided for 18-year-old vote.
Yeah.
And he almost had a third. He was the author of the Equal Rights Amendment, which actually at one point was just three state votes short of ratification.
Yes, it was.
So, yeah, it was quite an exciting time.
Yeah, that must have been. And three amendments in play. That's an amazing story. The 25th Amendment, Jay, has been bandied about a lot over the course of the last year or so. And, of course, it has come into play or at least been talked about in times prior to now. Let's talk about, first of all, what is the 25th Amendment of the Constitution?
So it has a number of different provisions. It is designed to deal with questions of vacancies in the office of the presidency and the vice presidency. It was triggered by the assassination of President Kennedy and the fact that when President Johnson assumed the presidency, there was a vacancy in the vice presidency that wasn't filled for quite a long time.
Right.
It was also motivated by the experience the United States had during a prolonged illness of Woodrow Wilson, who was unable to actually govern. And the thought was that what was going on was a conspiracy between his wife and his doctor.
Yes, she didn't tell people how serious his condition was, it sounds like. Yeah,
exactly. But fortunately, there were enough experiences during the presidency of President Eisenhower when there were instances where his illnesses were public, and through a series of informal arrangements with Vice President Nixon, there was a provision whereby Nixon would assume the office, act in the office for a limited period of time. So there were a lot of historical instances where there were issues, and the 25th Amendment was designed to make sure that there was continuity in government, particularly in the context people were very sensitive to the fact that they were living in a nuclear age in the mid 1960s.
And under which specific circumstances under the 25th Amendment can a president be removed from office?
Okay, so that is under Section 4. It's the one section that has never been invoked. And the provisions in the Constitution currently require that the vice president initiate a process whereby he determines, with the consent of a majority of the cabinet, senior cabinet,
right,
that the president is unable to fulfill his duties. That decision goes to the Speaker of the House and the President pro tem of the Senate.
And there's a line. There's a line of people who might succeed,
right,
the president under these circumstances.
Correct, under the Succession Act of 1947.
Okay.
Which is something that actually needs to be revised. But the House of Representatives, in order to actually move forward on removal of the president, would require a two-thirds vote. Before even taking that two-thirds vote in the House and then referring it and requiring two-thirds of the Senate, the president himself has the opportunity in a limited period of time to contest the finding.
That makes sense.
Of the, exactly. Contest the finding of the vice president and the majority of the cabinet, and then they have a limited period of time to respond before the House is required to act. So it is as well it should be, a complicated procedure. It was always envisioned that the removal of a duly elected president was, in effect, a political act. It could be and should be informed by medical issues.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was to be a political act, it did require the vice president to set the process in motion.
And of course, in the last year, Jay, the 25th Amendment has not been invoked, but it has certainly been bandied about by some Americans, mostly anti-Trump people, and the folks who think that between what he says and what he tweets and sometimes what he does, that maybe he's just plain nuts and should be removed from office for that particular reason.
Well, it's the reason why some might call it the Looney Tunes clause.
Did you write that in, Jay? Or
sounds like a Warner Brothers cartoon. The fact is, I think that you have to distinguish between the intent of the amendment, which was a bipartisan work, which is to determine that the president is unable. I think there's a bit of confusion, just from my own personal view. I believe the president is unfit to be president, but I don't think he's unable.
So being unfit, you know, that does not fall under the 25th Amendment umbrella, does it?
In my view, it would not, no. So that the 25th Amendment should not be viewed as a mechanism for removing President Trump because you don't like what he says or what he does.
Yeah.
I think the removal process is through impeachment, which ironically is actually easier to achieve than the 25th Amendment. Impeachment does not require a two-thirds vote in the House to send the articles of impeachment to the Senate. It requires just the majority. Under the 25th Amendment, you're required to have two-thirds of both the House and the Senate.
Well, it must be a complicated process, and as you say, it should be a complicated process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're removing the duly elected president.
And it just seems like
it should be a complicated.
Yes, it should be, and certainly should be a non-political. And I would think that aside from, you know, or as opposed to some physical malady that might be wrong with any president, that mental capacity would be a lot tougher to prove, a lot tougher to be decided upon.
Right. That's a difficult thing. And that's why there are so many steps involved in this. But the test is the president unable? That could be a physical malady or it could be mental incapacity.
Yeah.
And I go back to something you said. The real issue is that this was done as a bipartisan institutional reform to ensure that there was continuity in government. And I think people who are very unhappy with President Trump's performance were out searching for, you know, it was a remedy that was being conjured up by people. Oh, well, if this doesn't work, why don't we try the 25th Amendment?
Right.
It was like putting a square peg in a round hole. It's not designed to do those kinds of things. If the president is unable, then there's a process for removing him. But if it's just something that's politically motivated, that's the reason there are so many steps involved to prevent that from actually happening.
Well, there's one term you used in just that last part of your statement that you said bipartisan effort. And I think I'm going to have to look that one up, Jay, because I'm familiar with the terminology.
It's been a long time.
But yeah, I haven't seen it in action very much over the past many years. But let's hope
that's quite true. But it was a different time and a different place. And it was a work product that came through the efforts to get Republicans and Democrats to move it along. And that's the way it was done. It was done as what do we need to do to fix this in terms of our system of government, not looking at the end product and saying, gee, how do I want it to turn out? And what kind of system can I get to make it turn out that way?
Yeah. Well, it's a fascinating amendment, and I'm so happy that you were here with us this morning, Jay, to talk about it. And happy anniversary, by the way, tomorrow.
Thank you.
For your part in the 25th
Thank
Amendment.
You very much.
Nice to have you here. That is Jay Berman. He is the former chief of staff to Senator Birch Bayh of Indiana, one of the co-authors also of the 25th Amendment.